Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Yes, that's right, Kansas City. It's back. Crunch Time is back on the air in Kansas City. Very excited to be here. We've been asked, Frank Ball and I, for many, many years, if we could somehow reconnect and reenact and rebroadcast Crunch Time on 810 WHB. And we had to threaten some people and twist some arms, but we have finally got it back on the air, and what a great time to have it back on the air. The very first week of the Kansas City Chiefs season as they go against the L.A. Chargers, a big-time interdivisional football game. But let's talk real quick, though, about what we're trying to do here. The first thing as far as we are going to have some great guests on. You know, we're going to have on a bunch of NFL people. We're going to have some people to talk a little bit the logistics of gambling and trying to get the right fantasy guys and maybe the right bets in if that's what you're into. We're going to have all kinds of fun guys, but it's going to be basically about the Kansas City Chiefs, breaking down the Chiefs, breaking down their opponent, and getting the best product that we can get to you guys, because we think in Kansas City you deserve it. And that's what we used to bring you at Crunch Time. And I am so happy to say, Frankie boy, Pudgy, Frank Bowl, we're back.
We are certainly back, Tim, that's for sure. And I am sitting out here at Johnny's. I know you are back in South Bend, Indiana, for a weekend to spend with your kids. You got three beautiful children there, and it's a big thing for you. But you will be here with me next week, side by side. We'll be at the exact same spot, as a matter of fact. I'm sitting at the newest location for Johnny's Tavern. It's out here on South 7 Highway in Blue Springs, and it's a beautiful facility. They rebuilt the thing from the ground up. They knocked the building down that was here before. This place is huge. They've got 74 TVs, the NFL Sunday Ticket. They show every NFL game all season on those televisions. I'm sitting outside covered in heated patio with games. Lots of outside TV viewing. They have a fire pit and a fireplace here. They have a party room with seating for 50 available for watch parties, catering available upon request. The kitchen is open every night until midnight, and they have 10 locations at Johnny's between Lawrence, Kansas, and Kansas City Moen right here in Blue Springs. So Johnny's, you know, great sponsor. They've been great people that have worked with our station for a long, long time, and we couldn't be happier about being here. My old buddy Jack Harry, you talking about reprises. Jack Harry's going to be here in the bottom of the half hour, and we'll reprise a few of our Sunday night shenanigans we used to have. So between you, Grunny, and the Crunch Time, and Jack Harry, we are going to have some fun on our opening night, that's for sure.
Yes, we are, Frank. As you know, I couldn't make things easy. That's not my style. You know, the very first show, I'm out here in South Bend. And, you know, I did decide to step down from the coaching ranks. And, Frank, it's been 40 years. It's 40 years I was either playing or coaching. So it's a little bit strange for me, but I decided that, you know, it goes by so quick that I was going to come out here and try and catch all the home games of my son who's playing out here at Notre Dame. And they are playing against Ball State, the Jason Whitlock's alma mater. I might not be pretty, but Jason, if I know you're listening, you're a big fan of Crunch Time. If you're listening, I'll take a bet and I'll give you some points. But I couldn't make it easy. I understand. I think thanks for holding down the fort. Thanks to all the people at Johnny's for understanding. And, yeah, I'll be there next week. And we're going to have a great time all season long on Thursday nights, and just can't wait to get this thing going. And, man, I am so excited for this football game. It's going to be a tough one for the Chiefs. They all are. There's no easy games in the NFL, but the old L.A., they are a tough team, Frank, as you know.
Yeah, and you know, for me, you know, we get sort of jaded. We've been covering football seasons for so long and so many games and so many coaches and so much this and so much that. You know, this is the probably the most curious I've been about this Chiefs football team since they brought Joe Montana in to play quarterback. I think to see this kid, they finally drafted their own guy. First guy in franchise history, they're really going to try to make a franchise quarterback. Remember, they didn't draft Lynn Dawson, okay? He wasn't their draft choice. So, you know, for Patrick Mahomes to be taken off and for them to move up in the draft and give it to Mahomes and turn the reins over to a kid after 1 year under the leadership of Alex Smith, who was great for Patrick Mahomes, as he was the perfect mentor for this kid. You can even see a little bit of Alex in Patrick Mahomes when they do their pregame interviews, which he's been doing all week and ever since he's been here. So, you know, I am really curious to see what happens. And I think the future is bright. I'm not sure this is the season. They're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, even though a couple of Sports Illustrated's writers said that they will be in the Super Bowl and will win the Super Bowl. I just don't think this is their year. I think this team is building for 19-20-21, right in that area.
Yeah, you know, you brought up Patrick Mahomes, and we'll talk a little bit about the offense. And, you know, we got to get to the San Diego Chargers defense, or excuse me, the L.A. Chargers defense. Gosh, I've been doing that now for 2 years. But you're exactly right with Patrick Mahomes. I like this guy. He's going to make some big plays, Frank. He has a big arm. He's a really talented kid. He's got a lot of confidence in what he thinks that he knows. But hey, listen, this is the NFL. It's going to be tough on him, and they're going to show him some things. And they're going to do some things to him as basically a rookie quarterback. That he's going to make some wow throws, and he's going to make some bow wow throws. There are going to be some ugly throws that you see that are, wow, what was he thinking there? And then you're going to see him make some unbelievable throws and some unbelievable plays that you just think are beyond what a human being could do back there. So it's going to be a fun season. I agree wholeheartedly with you. Yeah, Tyreek Hill, a guy who could get open with all the speed in the world, that he can run the field, and this guy can hit him in stride. You have a great young running back in Kareem Hunt. You have I think, a great signing in Sammy Watkins, a guy that really – I think Patrick Mahomes and Sammy Watkins, as the season progresses, will get on the same page. And let's not forget about, you know, Travis Kelce, the best tight end, I think, in the NFL, bar none, who just does an unbelievable job of finding space in the middle of the field to make an opportunity for the quarterback to see a big target when he has to get rid of that ball and in stride. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to what this offense can do. But when you talk about the L.A. Chargers, you have to talk about their defense. It all starts with their front seven. Now, Frank, you and I had a little bit of a disagreement. You had been going back and forth today about Joey Bosa. I think Joey Bosa plays. I think there's no way this guy sits out. I think there's no way that this guy's going to miss the first game. A divisional game, an important game for the L.A. Chargers as they start out the season. And you say?
Oh, I say I don't think he's going to play. He isn't. He's working on a foot injury, Tim, and he has not practiced since August 7th. I mean, he's been out for a long period of time. It's not like the Eric Berry situation. Eric Berry hasn't played either. Again, Eric Berry missed practice again today. But Joey Bosa's been out since August 7th. He's got a foot injury. 12 and a half sacks last year. I got this feeling this kid will not play. Like Anthony Lynn is worried about him long term for the majority of the season. I know he knows how important this game is, of course, and so does Joey Bosa. But I just think in the long run, I don't think he's going to play against the Chiefs. And you said if he doesn't play, that could present a problem for the Chiefs.
Absolutely. Gus Bradley, who I think is one of the finest defensive coordinators in the league, a really, really good coach. Guy that was the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars a couple of years ago and, you know, really kind of formed that defense. We all know how good that defense is. But Gus Bradley, he does a wonderful job of – and it's funny because he said that he's a very liberal coach. He's not really worried about his system. It's not really the X's and O's. It's his Jimmies and Joes. He's going to form that defense. He's going to form that game plan on the guys that he has. And with Joey Bosa not being in there, Frank, I think it's, if you're right, I think it causes a lot of problems for the Chiefs because, listen, Gus Bradley and this defense, they have certain tendencies that they would do with Joey Bosa in there. Certain things that they do, certain things they're comfortable with, certain looks, certain formations that they adjust to that the Chiefs think they know. If Joey Bosa doesn't play, then Gus Bradley's the kind of guy that can throw all kinds of different things at you because he's going to form it to the defensive players, guys like Melvin Ingram, like Kyle Emanuel, like Jatavius Brown. He's going to make those guys the center point. And Bosa, you know, because he's in, they do certain things. Without him in, the Chiefs aren't going to be quite sure, I think, what they're going to do. So I think that causes a lot of problems because you watch film all week and you prepare for one or two or three or four different things, and all of a sudden you have something completely different. That causes a lot of headache and heartache. Now, in saying that, Andy Reid does a wonderful job of making adjustments during the game. He is by far the best coach at making game-time adjustments, being able to take a package off the shelf and bring it down and put it on the table. Now, the one thing that I think the Chiefs are going to try and do going to the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to try and spread it out a little bit. With this defense and this front seven, you don't want to get in a fist fight in a phone booth with these guys. You want to spread things out. You want to get their good players in space because they're tough and physical, but they don't like to run particularly in space. With the Chiefs athletes, they spread them out, try to get six in the box, or maybe even five in the box, and open up some running holes, but get those guys out of the box, get those guys away from the line of scrimmage, away from the football, and open up some space. And in saying that, really quick, Frank, and then I'll throw it to you, but if you think about it, the Chiefs have two tight ends right now active on the roster. And the Chiefs love to run three tight end stuff, and they love to run two tight end stuff. That stuff has got to be put on the shelf this week because they don't have enough guys because of Harris's suspension. So it's going to be an interesting game because now the Chargers aren't quite sure what the Chiefs are going to do. So it's game one. You know, you never know what you're going to see, but there's a little bit of a curveball and a little bit of a change-up for both coordinators as we go into this game.
Yeah, right. And I think the other thing is that people will tell you about Andy Reid is that he plays chess with his offense, where most of the other coaches and defense coordinators play checkers, and that gives Andy a definite advantage over them. And remember, San Diego is also missing two other people on defense. That's cornerback Jason Verrett and safety Jalen Watkins, who are both out for the season. So they are, you know, definitely shorthanded on the defensive side of football, so that could really set it up for Kansas City. But you talk about shorthanded on the defensive side of football, the Kansas City Chiefs are a little shorthanded on the defensive side of football. Not just as Eric Berry looks like it's going to be very questionable for maybe this week and next for him. He hasn't practiced for a while either, but their defense looked absolutely atrocious during the preseason. And, of course, during the playoff game from last year is the one that's in everybody's mind right now. What do you think is going to happen on that side of football? And will Phillip Rivers get frustrated after a while? Will Bob Sutton be able to frustrate him like he has in the past for him to just start throwing things up? Or do you think he knows how critical this game is and he will play close to the vest and then just try to pick them apart going down the field?
Well, Frank, you're exactly right when you talk about this defensive backfield. Steven Nelson is still a little bit questionable whether he's going to play. I think he will, but he's got concussion issue. One hit knock him to the sideline. You know, Eric Berry's a guy that probably isn't going to play, most likely isn't going to play, so you're not quite sure. Now all of a sudden they go out and they sign Ron Parker, a guy that, you know, really, you know, wasn't on the roster a week ago and was released by a team, and now he's picked up at Kansas City. The reason why they got him is because he knows the system and he could fit in here and do the stuff that Bob Sutton wants him to do. And then you got Kendall Fuller, but if you look at, I mean, Amari Watt's going to have to play. Eric Murray's going to have to play. Orlando Scandrick's going to have to play. I mean, Scandrick, Murray, Watt, and Fuller against that offense of Phillip Rivers, I mean, it's going to be an unbelievable test. That's why, I mean, I really truly believe that the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs and Sutton has got to dictate the action to them. If they sit back and they play zone, if they sit back, you know, listen, the Chiefs are a notorious man team. So they'll play man on the corners, and they'll play some zone over the top. Or they'll come in and play all man and bring some pressure. But I think if they bring pressure and dictate the action to them, they got a better chance. But this could get ugly. And it's really nothing that the coaching staff can do. It's just the football gods are not shining on the defensive backfield for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. There's just a lot of injuries and a lot of young guys. And I would think that like three or four of those guys were acquired in the last couple of weeks. Not the last couple of months, the last couple of weeks. So it's going to be a tough deal for the Kansas City Chiefs and Bob Sutton. But Philip Rivers threw six interceptions in the last two games against the Chiefs. And just like you said, Bob Sutton's been able to frustrate him and get him out of the pocket, get him off his spot, and he's been throwing the ball around. So that's we hope that can happen again, and we hope that the Chiefs are able to do that.
Yeah, and the Chiefs now, you know, they've jettisoned a lot of their older players, and they've now become one of the youngest teams in the National Football League. I think the average age is 25 years old. They've gotten rid of a lot of the bigger contracts. They still have a few, of course, but they've gotten rid of a lot of the bigger contracts and trying to bring these guys in. But half these guys they signed weren't even in camp with them. So for them to be up and running 100% and, you know, being ready for this football game and being really sure of themselves and what they're doing out there, it takes a while to adjust to who your teammates are, to what the calls are, to knowing exactly what the guy beside you can do, what the cornerback knows the safety can do, what the inside linebackers know the outside linebackers can do, what the rush guys know the inside guys are going to do. It's going to take some adjustment, and the defense doesn't have long to adjust because they got to play this division game against the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because if you look at what Justin Houston and Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland, really in that third preseason game, Ragland and Hitchens, they came off after that game and said, hey, you know what? We're just not on the same page yet. And the second and third preseason game for those guys, where they were in there, there was a little bit of struggle with communication. So let's hope they got all that stuff ironed out. But remember, you know, the offenses in preseason games are only showing maybe a third of their offenses, and they're being very vanilla because they don't want defensive coordinators across the league to see what they're going to do. So, you know, Katie bar the door when the offense goes on the field for the L.A. Chargers this week, because, I mean, they're going to run everything they have. This is an important game, and, the Chiefs have taken it to them the last couple of years. So, yeah, it's going to be a daunting task, but I do like the matchup of Chris Jones and Xavier Williams and Alan Bailey and Justin Houston, and I love that Derek Nnadi. I think he's a heck of a young player, and Tyler Passanio. I think all those guys, I think they have the advantage of the guys up front. Now, San Diego went out and signed the Pouncey kid. I think it was Mike Pouncey who played for he played at Florida, and then he went all around the league, different places. But now he's with San Diego, and the kid is a tough kid. He plays center. He's a great leader. He's a great communicator. They brought him in to straighten that offensive line out. But you know, if you think about that offensive line last year, struggled mightily, and they really didn't add too much to it. They wouldn't have got a couple of retreads from Denver and put them on the offensive line. So, you know, the Pouncey's got to be the difference maker, and I just don't see it. So I think the Chiefs have a definite advantage when you think about the defensive line against the L.A. Chargers offensive line.
Okay, when you played under Marty, of course, you guys dominated the Oakland Raiders, and, you know, it was always Raiders week, and he really took it serious. This football team has beaten the Chargers eight straight times. How much does that play into the Chargers' heads? And how much does that play into the Chiefs' heads?
Well, I think it does both. I think the Chargers, you know, here's the dirty little secret. Every time we played, whether it's the L.A. Raiders or the Oakland Raiders, I mean, they talked about, hey, we need to go out there and, you know, win this game to break this streak, and that's all they thought about all week. And then once one bad thing happened, they said, uh-oh, here we go again. So, you know, I think the Chargers have a little bit of that. And I think Phillip Rivers has a little bit of that. And he's really the key. He's got the keys to that car. He's got the keys to that Camaro. And he's got to, play well and start fast. You know, I think it's a huge advantage for the Chargers if they start fast. But remember, they started fast a couple of years ago, and the Chiefs came back and beat them. So, you know, I agree. I think that, they're in the Chargers' head a little bit. And the Chiefs, but you know, the Chiefs have got to go about doing their business. But there's a lot of new faces wearing the Arrowhead on the helmet this week. So I'm not sure if they know exactly the history of this rivalry and the history of these games. but I know Philip Rivers does. So hopefully Bob Sutton keeps getting in his head and he, you know, continues to struggle against the Chiefs, because when Philip Rivers struggles, they lose football games. It's as simple as that. And he has against the Chiefs over the last couple of years.
I think the NFL Network broke down the Chiefs. They say the Chiefs have the biggest odds to be the biggest boom or the biggest bust team in the AFC. According to analytics, they're going to win between 12.2 and 7.9 games. So that's a pretty big disparity. The best thing about that stat is the fact that the lowest they think they could do is to win 8 games and finish 500. But the best they could do is to win over 12, or to win 12. So they took the trends from the last 10 years, and they do predict that they will win the AFC West. So, you know, for Kansas City, they're still pretty well thought of outside of Kansas City, despite the defense. I think a lot of them look at Bob Sutton's defense and say, hey, they teams last year only averaged 21.2 points per game against them, despite the fact they gave up all those yards. So I think people around the NFL still have a pretty good feeling about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I mean, I think that the fans of Kansas City felt pretty good about the Chiefs going into the preseason as the defense struggled. And you remember, that was preseason. Now, listen, yes, it's important. And yes, I mean, that's a trend. The preseason was not very good for the defense, and the offense did okay at times. But, you know, this is a whole new world. I always tell people that the difference between preseason and regular season is about a step and a half. It's a whole different game. It's a lot faster. So, you know, hopefully a guy like Patrick Mahomes can get on a roll, because if he can and his confidence is up and Andy Reid's dialing up the right the plays, it should be fun to watch this kid play. Now, one thing I do think they're going to do early, and I'm talking about the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, I want you guys to look for this, is running some of their RPO stuff, which is run-pass option. When, you know, you have an aggressive defense like the L.A. Chargers, who are stepping up and trying to stop the run and trying to keep Kareem Hunt from running the ball against them, that's when they're set up for a nice pass, a nice slant, a nice throw pattern, you know, a nice throw out to the flat with your RPO runs. And he's just simply going to read the outside linebacker or the inside linebacker or the safety. And if those guys are cheating up and they're looking for the run, then he's going to drop the ball over the top of them. But if they're laying back and they're stepping back, and in the NFL, it's just one step, Frank. If you can get him to step up or step back, if you get him to step back, you hand the ball to Kareem Hunt, and there'll be a big hole there. So, you know, there's a lot of things that two-headed monster of the run and the pass that the Chiefs can do is certainly making old Gus Bradley lose some sleep as he gets ready for this game, because there's just a lot of talent and a lot of athleticism on the Chiefs offense, and I expect the Chiefs offense to flourish this week, even though they have the best front seven, because they're going to take advantage of the aggressiveness of the Chargers. And if they can take advantage of that aggressiveness, now you're getting guys to think about it and hesitate. And once you get somebody to hesitate in the NFL, you win. So it'll be really interesting to see how this game progresses. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes, if he starts out hot and he starts out, you know, kind of in a good flow and a good rhythm, it could be a fun game to watch. And they could put up big-time points.
All right, Tim, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, you're going to, you and your old buddy from Notre Dame, John Carney, are going to take over for a segment, talk about this football game, and find out a little bit where John is and what he's doing, and find out a little bit about what this move has meant for the San Diego Chargers, for the L.A. Chargers, who used to be the San Diego Chargers, and what it means for their fans, and, you know, trying to get fired up and excited for a 30,000-seat stadium. They're all going to feel like they're back in high school for some of these guys. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Tim and John Carney right after this on Crunch Time.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. Frank Bull out here at Johnny's in Blue Springs. Brand new spot out here, just a beautiful spot where they have all kinds of televisions for you. 74 TVs, the NFL Sunday Ticket. Today's special is $2 off all burgers, $3 for domestic pints, covered in heated patio with games, lots of outside TVs, and even a party room that can seat 50 for available for watch parties. Right now, I'd like to introduce Tim's guest, John Carney, his former teammate at Notre Dame. John is a Pro Bowler, of course, and remember, he did kick for the Kansas City Chiefs in 2007. He was 3-for-3 kicking for the Chiefs, but 297 games played, 2,062 total points, fifth all-time, and 82.4% on his field goal. So quite a kicker, and he is Notre Dame's all-time. He was on Notre Dame's all-time team as a kicker. And Grunhard, how come you always told me you hated kickers?
Well, I like John.
And you got poor John Carney on here.
Hey, Johnny, what's going on?
John, don't forget that. John, don't you forget that, buddy, okay?
Hey, we're doing great. Hey, thanks so much for coming on. And John, you know how I make things difficult for everybody. I'm in South Bend, and as you know, our son, J.D., who is a fine quarterback from Cathedral Catholic out there in California, who is a football player here at Notre Dame, and Colin, who's here, and their buddies that hung around all summer doing all the fun stuff that college kids do, and they're out here at Notre Dame, and I'm out here, so we're doing a remote, and I'm on the air, and it's all this crazy stuff. But John, thanks for coming on. And first of all, how does it feel? And I know how it feels for me, but how does it feel to see your son run through that tunnel on the field at Notre Dame?
Well, Tim, I couldn't be more proud. He's a hard worker, just like many of the guys that we knew coming up through the business and coming up through the sport. And to see him come out and walk the same steps that we walked years ago, wearing the same uniform and going through the same experiences, it's just a lot of fun. And it's very surreal, and I couldn't be more proud of both our boys, Colin and JD.
Well, if all works out, CJ, who's my senior son, can let your son JD borrow his car to take his future wife maybe on a date like you did for me. Little known fact that I borrowed John's car to take Sarah out on our first date here at Notre Dame, and it worked out pretty well, John. So thank you very much.
I think you're right. The date didn't work out well because I think you're 300 pounds, but it was all good.
The date worked out well, but I'm not saying, you know, it was all in the up and up. It didn't work out well because I had your car. Let me just get that straight. It worked out because we got married. But, hey, John, talk to us a little bit about, I know that you're out in Cali quite a bit. I know you travel all over the country, but you're out there basically in California all the time. Talk to us a little bit about the feel of L.A. and the Chargers and kind of what the feel is in San Diego about losing the Chargers.
Well, they left a vacuum, really. It was really unfortunate that the city, the team, and our commissioner in the NFL couldn't put together a workable, doable deal and build a new stadium. We've been in need of a new stadium for years. And, you know, you go across the country and across the NFL, and new stadiums are popping up, you know, every other year. And here we suffer. And San Diego, whether it's politics or a stubborn owner, or a commissioner who doesn't want to get involved. But now, one city in the United States that did a great job of hosting Super Bowls and hosting a team that was very exciting. Certainly many Hall of Famers from the Air Coryell days and the 90s when Chargers went to the Super Bowl, 94 season. Just really unfortunate that this city no longer contains an NFL team and will no longer host a Super Bowl, at least in the near future. It's left a lot of frustrated sports fans down here, and I'm one of them. And now the LA Chargers are trying to make a mark there in Los Angeles, and they're really in a market that's flooded with fantastic sports teams, not only pro hockey, basketball, and football, but college as well. So it's a real crowded place up there for sports. And, I just don't know in the long run if that's going to work out well for the L.A. Chargers.
You know, it's funny you bring up some of those old Hall of Fame guys, because there's a guy that I know is close to you and Bobby Bethard who just went into the Hall of Fame, and you were there for him. Tell us a story a little bit about that experience. I know that you and your wonderful wife, beautiful wife, flew up on the Chargers private jet, which is a nice deal. Up to the Hall of Fame. Talk to us a little bit about that, and how did Bobby take it, the Hall of Fame, and that was a nice little feather in the cap of San Diego Charger fans.
Absolutely, Bobby Bethard, responsible for actually started off in Kansas City, I believe, as a scout, and did really well there. Jumped down to the Dolphins and was responsible and there during the 70s when they were winning Super Bowls with Don Shula, and then he goes to the Washington Redskins and responsible for hiring Joe Gibbs and putting together Super Bowl seasons there, and then coming out to San Diego and again within 5 years, get the San Diego Chargers to the Super Bowl. So just an amazing career of managing and understanding NFL talent, how to work with owners, how to work with the city. Really special. The Chargers did call my wife and I and another teammate that we played with, Raylee Johnson, a defensive end from the 90s. We did fly out there to have an opportunity to see Bobby and to congratulate him in person. And there were other Charger personnel that worked for the organization that came out. Certainly Washington Redskins were well represented. Another kicker, Mark Mosley, was there, by the way, who Bobby was responsible for at the Washington Redskins. So really, really special and well overdue for a guy, Bobby Beathard, who meant so much to the organizations he worked for and he managed and he led. But again, such a humble guy. I mean, if you talk about the Hall of Fame with Bobby, he's going to brush it off and try to change the subject.
You know, it's amazing you talk about, you know, Bobby Beathard and all the guys that he's kind of brought apart. And I think he may have rubbed off on you a little bit, because one of the things that you've done an unbelievable job of is putting together some camps for kids in the summer. And you did one here in Kansas City this year, and it was well attended at Bishop Manage High School. And I know you do them all over the country. Tell everybody a little bit about your camps. I know we're going to try and put one together again in Kansas City this summer. But talk to us a little bit about that camp and how can people get some information on it.
Well, thanks, Tim. Yeah, we have these camps I call the Kearney Kicking Challenge. The premise of this camp is not ranking. It's not to rank you nationally like many of the popular camps do. But we coach. We coach. We mentor. We teach. We demonstrate. We want to give specialists, punters, kickers, and long snappers, tools for them to be successful on their football team, whether it's high school or college. We want to give them real-life tools. And if they come to our camps, I guarantee you they will walk away learning and having been taught proper mechanics and not only physical but the mental side of the game, the preparation side of the game, the strength conditioning side of the game, so they can work and improve and get to the level that they want to, that they desire. And then if they do go to a ranking camp, they'll rank much better, and when more importantly, when they play for their football team, they're going to be an asset to the team. They're going to be a positive force for the team. And when it comes to college recruiting, they'll do what it takes on the football field during their football season to get noticed.
Do you think this is becoming harder now to be a kicker in college football and in the NFL with some of the new rules? Let's address just the NFL rule with the one-yard run-up now. How does that affect kickers? I mean, I know one of the things that you love to do is just pound it through the end zone, and I think most people do, but there's a lot of strategy now with the one-yard run-up. I'm not even sure if that's going to help the whole, you know, we're not going to get into CTE and the concussion stuff, but that's kind of what they're trying to address. But with that, is there some strategy that these NFL teams are going to do that maybe we should look for with this one-yard run-up?
Well, yeah, Tim, and I think you'll know the first five games of this football season, it's going to be really – interesting to see what the special teams coaches have designed both for return and coverage. The return team is at a huge disadvantage. There's, let me see, 10, 20, 30. There's 40 yards of open grass that they can only have three guys lined up in, and they're in the back end. So you have three returners, and there's no wedge blockers. There's no more big linemen back there to protect that returner. And they have a ton of ground to cover. And then the rest of the team is all bunched up in a 15-yard zone close to the line of scrimmage. So you're going to see some real unique, some pop-up kicks, some mortar kicks, some line drives, some chip shots to get those guys in the back end to try to cover that field. They're going to be like outfielders in the back end. And then, of course, the coverage team, they have to spread out across the field. Like you said, there's no run-up. So, you know, it's going to take them 5 to 8 yards to get at full speed. So it's going to be really interesting these first few weeks. Now, you know, during preseason, no one wants to show anything. So they just, you know, hit deep kickoffs. But now you're going to really see some unique game planning. And it's going to be interesting to see who wins this battle, the kickoff return team or the coverage team.
And that's some great points. And, you know, I think the people out there listening probably didn't even think about that. So Thanks for bringing that up. Hey, Johnny, we're so happy to have you on. Thanks so much for coming on. I know you have a busy schedule, and I'll be up here. I'll make sure that I say hello to JD for you. Are you coming? You're not coming up this weekend, are you?
I'm not coming up this weekend, but I'll be watching closely. So yeah, give the boys a high five for me. And if anybody's interested in our camps, Timmy, carneycoaching.com, all the camps dates for the next year, 2019, should be posted within the next several weeks. And again, like you said, we'll be back in Kansas City to teach the Kansas City specialists tools for success.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Johnny. Appreciate it. And make sure you guys go and check out that website. It's a great camp. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Big Tim.
All right, guys. So now I'm going to throw it to the geriatric boys. My man, Jack, do you remember back in the old days, our Monday night football show that we did for so many years together?
I did. When I heard you come on the air, that's the first thing I had thought, because it was 17 years ago, Frank.
Wow.
And I had retired from the first time I retired. I retired by five times.
Jack,
I got booted out.
Jack, you're still not retired. You realize you're on the radio again?
No, but Tim and I used to go around to all these spots. That was a great time. I did learn a lot of football from him. But
you bet.
That was a lot of fun. It really was. That's good stuff with Carney, by the way. Very interesting.
Well, Jack, I caught a lot of flack for bringing a kicker on the first time, but first, I was a San Diego guy, and I really kind of wanted to get to these new kicking rules. I think it's really interesting for people because, just like John said, they haven't shown nothing yet. You know, they're gonna do little flop kicks. They're going to do the line drive kicks. You may see a lot more onside kicks. There's going to be an interesting dynamic in the game.
Yeah, it will. The deal, we saw it in college football this past weekend. They have the fair catch.
Yeah.
Where they can take the fair catch and everything stops, and they get the ball at like the 35-yard line or whatever it is, 25 or 35-yard line. That, but they don't do that in the NFL. But don't be surprised if coming up in the next couple of years they start doing things like that, because the collision on the kickoff is probably the most violent collision that you could basically have, and they're trying to eliminate that. So.
I was thinking today how the sport has really changed, though. I mean, now there are no more two-a-days. There's no more tackling during the week, and we talk about the poor tackling and that type of thing, and this has to go into it. The fact that, I heard Seth Joyner, they were talking to him on the NFL Network. He said he went to some training camps. He says, I really question the conditioning of these football players. I mean, they used to, he said back in the day, man, we got done practicing, we had two-a-days, then we were out running.
Sure.
Now they pack it in, man. They go out, go to meetings, and that's it. So
Tim wishes it was like that back in the day.
I'm going to let you because there's no two better characters in Kansas City sports more than you
right,
two.
Buddy.
And you're gonna get, I'm way too young to be on this show now. You guys,
all right. Hey, Tim. Tim, real quick before.
Years older than I am, so you guys take it over. Frank, I'll see you next week,
right,
buddy.
Hold it, Tim. Tim, before you hang up, give us a quick prediction. Come on.
He's gone.
That dirty dog.
He got
off
of there.
The air before he had
out of
the prediction. He's smarter than I thought for an offensive lineman.
Yes, he is.
All right, we're going to take a quick break
those
here.
Bridges, buddy.
We're going to take what you. Hey. That's a single rule in this business. All right, buddy, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Jack Carey, Frank Bohl on Crunch Time out here at Blue Springs, where Johnny's newest place here on 4070 and South 7 Highway.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That's a good one. I thought it was going to be the Jaws thing there for a second. Welcome back to Crunch Time. We are out at the newest Johnny's location out here on South 7 Highway in Blue Springs. The place is absolutely beautiful. They tore down an old building that was here. They rebuilt a brand new bar. Today's specials, $2 off all burgers, $3 on domestic pints. NFL Sunday Ticket. They show every NFL game all season. They have 74 TVs here. We're out. Jack and I are out in a covered and heated patio. They'll have games. They have lots of outside TVs. They've got a fire pit here and a fireplace. Party room for 50. Kitchen open until midnight every night. This is their 10th location. I didn't realize they had
I,
did,
I didn't either. I had
this place
had no
is
clue.
Great though.
It
it's
really
awesome,
is.
Yeah.
And when I walked in, I thought it's like open air, and then
yes.
and then the patio out here. You can tell it's heated, and no, it is really nice. You know, I was coming out I-70, and I wasn't exactly sure. So I put it on my GPS,
oh, yeah.
you know, where I'm going to go.
I couldn't find my way anymore.
Well, when you get our age, you expect that.
I used to guess where places were. I think it's over there somewhere.
So I took a ride on 7 Highway, man, and right here before you know it. But anyhow, it is. It's, you know, TVs, I'm sitting here looking at them. They got stuff everywhere and really a nice staff, man. You,
yeah,
you know, they make you feel warm.
Good people,
and,
yeah, you bet.
Yeah. Good spot.
Runny heard us dissing him about getting off the air before he made his
– Oh, so he gave you one?
He gave me one, yeah. No wonder he got off. 35-31 Chargers.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Tim.
Yeah.
Timo, you know, these normally an opening weekend game isn't a real high-scoring game. Offenses still getting, you know, cranked up or whatever. But with the big question marks on both of these defenses you know, with Joey Bosa maybe being out, and they lost a couple guys earlier this year. And then, of course, we know about the Chiefs defense. It's going to be interesting to see what does happen as far as point total is concerned in this football game.
It really is. And I haven't checked the over-under on this lately, but it's got to be in the mid-40s.
I think
probably.
It's right in the 40s.
Yeah,
I think you're about right.
Somewhere
about
in there,
yeah.
But – you know, Frank, I was listening to you a little bit earlier. We can get into the defense, but of all the years of covering all these open, you know, there's always you get excited, you really do. And I mean, you know, we're supposed to be journalists and reporters and that type of thing, but you know, I mean, we're not close to the team. We're retired and that type of thing, but we kind of. Like
stay
to keep
after
up.
Stay
yeah,
on,
you,
sure.
you read yeah. about it, you hear what other people are saying and that type of thing. But I'm telling you, there's a different buzz, I believe. Now, I think so. That's what I interpret, what that – and because of the quarterback thing.
Yes.
And this kid, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of weight. He's 22 years old. He won't be 23 until next week, I believe. I believe he turns 23 next week. But there's that excitement in the air. What's going to happen, you know? They got the best tight end in football. They got the fastest wide receiver in football. They got Sammy Watkins, a $15 million sure. man. There are so many parts of this offense. I mean, they got to be good, don't they? And then I get to thinking about the defense. And then you wonder, what are they going to do, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I think it's a serious problem. I really do. And it goes back and they have no one in Beach. You know, everybody says he's doing a great job. He probably is. We'll find out. But this draft could be the story. I mean, they go out and get a project. The first guy they draft is a project when they know they've got to get a quarterback. And you know, when they moved up 8 spots to get Speaks, I thought, you know,
yeah.
here's that kid from Iowa, that cornerback from Iowa, Josh Jackson, I believe is his name. He's sitting right there. Knowing, you know, I mean, I said, man, you need some corners. You're going to need
sure.
them because, you know, 5 or 6 guys that were playing the spot are no longer there. Some of them weren't that good, and you can get into the Peters thing and everything else. But I thought right then, you know, why the project? Why do you need a project right now as your number one guy? Second round, but the number one guy they picked.
Yeah, sure.
When you got that kid sitting there. So anyhow, I mean, that's what we do. We kind of second guess, but you know,
they may be second guessing themselves as well. So
well, they could be, and I like Chris Jones. I think he's really good. Xavier Williams, you know, and this naughty kid. I heard Tim talking about
great,
him.
Yeah.
But that guy looks like the real deal. But I mean, you know, what you're going to get from Hitchens and Raglan and that type of thing. Four of the first 6 games, man. You know, I mean. This is a very, very crucial stretch for this football team. If they can navigate and get through this first early, you know, because it's going to be tough Sunday, and it's going to be tough in Pittsburgh, and you don't want to start 0-2.
Yeah, the only thing about the Pittsburgh, and we'll see what happens, Le'Veon Bell, of course, now he's getting his teammates are all ticked off at him for sitting out for so long. They thought he'd be in this week. He's not back. He won't play this week against Cleveland, and, of course, Kansas City goes in there next week. Although Pittsburgh does have a pretty good offensive line, they've got James Conner, who they picked up from the University of Pittsburgh. He will now be their running back. We'll worry about next week. Next week, you're worried about this game getting off to a great start, especially this kid playing quarterback. And if you're Andy Reid, you know what kind of an arm this kid has. But he's not going to go downfield all the time with this kid. He's going to have him dump it off, keep it safe, I think. Make San Diego move up and try to play closer on Tyreek Hill and on Travis Kelce. You got Kareem Hunt in the backfield, dump the ball off to him. You can get yourself downfield by dumping it 10 yards downfield, and one of those players just taking off and taking it the rest of the way, let alone throwing the ball 60 yards downfield if you have an open receiver. Once San Diego moves up, maybe you can do those things. But the deal is, I think they try to keep it as simple for Patrick Mahomes as they possibly can. And you talked about the excitement level, and I agree with you. They have never drafted a quarterback like this kid in this position before, and that's what we're really thinking about. So.
Yeah, it's 35 years.
Oh, you know, yeah.
35 years since we had our own guy.
Absolutely.
Our guy.
Right.
I mean, they were all these 49er guys. Remember in the 90s? Went through that whole period. But anyhow,
the one 49er guy was pretty good.
He wasn't bad.
The first guy.
He almost got us there. But anyhow, it's going to be fun. It really is. I'm really great anticipation on watching this game Sunday and seeing what happens.
Yeah.
I just, maybe the defense will surprise us. Maybe they will. I don't see it. But I want to watch this offense. I really do. And you mentioned Hunt. They got to get the ball. He averaged 17 carries a game last year.
Yeah.
I think he's got to have more. I really do. You got to be careful. You know, he had, 270 for the season, something like that?
Yeah.
Still led the NFL.
Yeah, sure he did.
And Le'Veon Bell had over 300.
Yeah, right.
So,
exactly.
I mean, and this guy didn't have any camp or anything. So
all right, give me your prediction. Come on.
I got the Chargers. I got the Chargers winning this game 28-24. I think it's going to be a heck of a game.
I started out 31-24 Chargers, and now I doubt it back score-wise. I think it's going to be more like 24-17 or 24-21. I think it'll be very close. I still think San Diego has a slight edge because of the quarterback and the unknown in Patrick Mahomes.
I think so. Keep in mind, Andy Reid is just dominating.
He's a genius.
It's about
on these games.
16 of the last 18 in the division he's won, Frank. That's incredible.
That's not bad, buddy. You know what? I hope we're both wrong.
Yeah.
Really? Rudolph 1-0. Go to Pittsburgh.
You bet.
No Le'Veon Bell. 2-0. Super Bowl,
there it
Jack.
Goes. That's Super Bowl, the talk, baby. It?
All right, Jack Carey, Frank Bull out here in Blue Springs. Come join us. We are at Johnny's, and thanks for joining us tonight on Crunch Time.